Time's up. Let's do this.
We're in for a wild night.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to episode 191 of Born to be Wild, a wild and wild adjacent Hearthstone podcast where we talk about the wild and wild adjacent format of Hearthstone, and we have fun hanging out with friends and spotlighting members of the wild community. I'm your host, Electric Sheep City. It's great to be back this beautiful Friday evening here in Colorado. It's like snowing. It like just started like actively snowing right before I went to go pick up my son after work, and it was a blast coming on the way home, because some people are like, okay, I'm gonna drive, you know, like there's slightly inclement weather, no biggie, and some people are like, I just want to get home as fast as possible, so like they're like weaving in and out of traffic, and it was slightly terrifying around
those
people.
Have you had to make the adjustment coming from a warm climb to like driving in snow, or is that something that like you have picked up, or is it a skill that you needed to acquire?
So I learned how to drive in the Austin area, right? It, you know, yeah, would rain a fair amount, and that's not something people here have to deal with a whole lot, but it honestly is pretty similar to snow.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And my tires were completely bald when I learned how to drive, because I did not know that you should like replace those, if that's a thing, right when you get your car. So anytime it would rain, I would like hydroplane all over the place. Oh yeah. So I learned how to drive on ice, essentially. Yeah, so I kind of know how to decently drive on that kind of stuff. The real answer is no one can drive on it, and you just like point in the right direction and don't slam on your brakes or the or the gas, and you just like, yeah, white knuckle it. We're gonna recover.
Just steer into the skid, keep your tires in the direction you want, and it'll be all fine, right? Just go 25.
I mean, kind of, yeah. So, as you can tell, I'm joined tonight by one of my favorite people, Shmoopy Daddy. How's it going, Shmoopster?
Air horns. It's going okay. I got a little bit of a cold. Another gift from Shmoopy. Thank you for bringing this home from preschool, along with all the, you know, or not preschool, it's kindergartner now. Not only all the like the art and stuff, but also like, you know, the sickness. Thank you. No, but it's great. And we are still snowy here, but it keeps warming up. It keeps melting. I feel like we're towards the end of winter, because a rodent said so. So I'm going to just hope that that's the case.
Yes.
Yeah. I had to ask the question, because I know some people in the South, like they have no idea how to drive in snow. So like, especially around like military bases, like you see like cars strewn across the, because like they have no idea that like, oh, I can't go 65 in a snowstorm, really?
What?
Shocking revelation. So I had to know. It's just like, does sheep know? But like you down in Texas, you have like big ditches on the side of the road though, right? Like that's not necessarily an issue, I imagine, in Colorado as far as drainage goes, because one time it did snow in Texas, and the one person I know in Texas, Tulio P, did post a picture on Discord once of him like spinning out into a Texan ditch because of like 4 inches of snow. He's like, it wasn't my fault. And we're all like, ha ha. So anyway, sorry. Yeah. I've derailed enough early already.
That is A-okay. So for those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Let me briefly explain how this show works. We record this podcast live every Friday evening at twitch.tv/borntobewildhs. And the video version of this podcast is then posted to YouTube shortly thereafter. Audio versions are also distributed to all of the podcast apps. However you are watching, listening, or absorbing via osmosis this podcast today, thank you. Yes. You.
Content plug. Shmoopy Daddy. Before we get to the main topic of the show tonight, I'd like to say a quick thank you to Shakunin and the other patrons of our show. Your support means the world to us. And if you enjoy this content, please like, subscribe, and comment on this video on YouTube. Another simple way to support the show is to leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your podcast platform of choice. If you're watching live on Twitch, we've got some awesome emotes that you can unlock by subscribing to the channel. This is free if you use Amazon Prime. There are also emotes you can unlock completely free just for following. Born to be Wild Wirch. Picture of my wife. Link I'd never read out loud on this section. There's a link to the shop from our main website. Finally, if you'd like to support our show financially, you can join our Patreon for as little as $1 per month. We have a few channels in the Discord that are unlocked by subscribing to Patreon, where you can see how, where you can see the show coming together each week. Check it out. If you'd like to interact with us personally, please join our Discord, a free, amazing online community of friends from all across the world who love talking about Wild Hearthstone. Links to all this stuff and more can be found at our website, which is www.bornbewildhs.com. Sheep, no fair that you are deleting stuff as I'm reading it. I'm Ron Burgundy. You know that if it's on the prompter, I'm going to read it.
I'm Ron Sheep City.
How was your week, Sheep?
My week was pretty kicking rad, not gonna lie. So, you know, it's been a little while since I've been around these parts. A couple weeks ago I was sick. Then last week, you know, was my wife's birthday. So in between, you know, now and then, first I hit Legend and Twist. Did that first. It probably would have happened the first of the month if I wasn't sick, but you know, I was. So
yeah.
It didn't happen quite as soon. So got that you know, tied my shoes in Twist. Then I tied my shoes in Standard.
Nice.
So my third legend this month, which is my 100th legend overall, could be in Wild with Holy Wrath Paladin. My very first legend was with Holy Wrath Paladin, so I knew I had to do it with the same archetype of deck, even though it was a, you know, much different build, and there's not a like Holy Wrath combo. And
that's so cool, like that synergy is so cool, and like the symbolism. For me, I'd have to do, like, I don't know, Highlander Hunter, but also I'd have to go back and count how many legends I've done. And I know you have your spreadsheet, which is also really cool. So you've got all that data under wraps. That's a really neat achievement.
Thank you. Yeah, it was one of those things that I've kind of been like, wait, I'm only three away. What am I going to do for that? And at first I was going to do it with Whizbang. And then by the time I was getting around to it, Whizbang had changed, so it was only stuff from Boomsday. We'll get there. Yeah, right now, because of the new patch, it's only Boomsday stuff. So I was like, This is going to be much more difficult. So I pivoted, and I'm very, really glad that I did, because, you know, that book ending Holy Wrath, just feels so.
I'm
so
still
right.
Horrified by this revelation. Wait, did they kill Whizbang?
Whizbang will be fixed. It's because of Twist, right?
Oh, okay. Never mind. Okay.
It's because of Twist next season.
Oh, okay.
Which we will get to, and I'm very excited about next
More
season
later.
Twist. Yeah. So that's kind of been, you know, my few weeks. You know, sick, work, lots of school, wife birthday. Huge achievement in Hearthstone number 100. Bo, 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 bo. Shmoopy Daddy, how's your week been, my friend?
My week's been okay. I think the most interesting thing that's sort of happened in my personal life is to happen today. We do like a reading initiative. We have a February break, so next week I'm off for President's Day week.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm expecting some Hearthstone, but also I'll be like alone with my kids for four of those days. And so it's going to be daddy daycare. I'm going to have to buck up. But the day before we go, we do something called like a read-in, where my students are supposed to bring books and read. Except I noticed a couple of years ago that they never do that. They never actually like go and read. So I read to them. And the books I choose to read to them are like you know, again, I'm a physics guy, so in this physics classroom, so it's like, you know, quantum physics for babies, general relativity for babies, you know, electricity.
The
and
Lamb
magnetism.
Has that one.
It's good. Like, I love the books. The books are really good. Written by a physicist, but on simple terms. And now that my son's a little older, but, like, he has fond memories of me reading the books to him, we can engage with the material a little bit more than when it was before. But the books are very engaging and really fun. So I'm doing that, sitting on a chair, sitting on a desk, reading to, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. I give them Goldfish. I give them Capri Sun. It is story time. And I read them that, and I'll read them Dr. Seuss, and I'll read them H.P. Lovecraft, you know, the stuff that you can safely read without offending anyone. And it's just a good time. And so, like, I haven't even opened Hearthstone today because I did that all day. I know, it's shocking. It's a terrible thing. I took a day off of Hearthstone. Well, I'll probably log in before midnight. So, like, we'll get there. We'll get the daily done.
Are you going through withdrawals?
No.
Twitch.
No. So that was like just personal life. That was one of the more fun things because I love this day. Like, I could have spent today dropping egg drop projects, but instead I was just like, no, I do the read-ins for me. I do the read-in because I like reading to the kids. And honestly, like, they end up liking it too. Oh, I can't forget. I got to read them Dragons Love Tacos 1 and 2. And so that was great. They really enjoy Dragons Love Tacos 1. And then when the time travel aspect comes in number 2, like, from a Hearthstone standpoint, one of the more fun things I did this week was I started getting bored. I had... Like I said, I think last podcast, I had dumpstered down to gold MMR and was sort of climbing my way back up. And then all of a sudden, like, oopsie poopsie, it's not the fun gold MMR that I was expecting. It's filled with people who I assume have been banned for botting. So I'm facing against, like, I'm going to say, like, full speed Mine Rogue players. And I actually had somebody, who has HS Premium. Like, do a quick search, like, all right, how many decks are running Naval Mines? And it was something like 25% in, like, gold with, like, wow, a 68% win rate. I'm, like, looking at that, I'm like, that seems abnormally high. and so, like, a bunch of people who got whacked in Wild, I think, are making their way back up. Hopefully legitimately this time. Hopefully they continue to be legitimate, but I'm going to be real with you. I still saw some even shaman bots on the way up. So, like, I think some people are just going to be like, eh, and try to do the same thing over again. But that's not really the point of my week. The point of my week in Hearthstone was I was getting bored of tryharding down there because it's just like, I want to be having fun down here. I don't want to be tryharding. So what I did was I put out a challenge to my community. I occasionally do these Survivor series, and I said, okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to make me a budget decks, competitive budget decks, no limit on archetype. Well, except for 4 archetypes, but, like, we know Pirate Rogue, we know Mine Rogue, we know Shadow Priest, and we know, what was my last one? Oh, Fatigue Warlock are all, like, budget decks. Like, with very little scrimping and scraping, you can make almost full speed lists of those. So those are in there as a ringers. But everybody else, you have to make me decks that can have no more than 2 legendaries that you can pack, and decks that cost less than 5,000 dust. The catch being, anything that you can get for free, that you might have in your collection that is free, you could use in the building. So the core set's legal. Ooh. So I actually had, like, one of the most fantastic submissions I had. It's not a good deck. But the final union submitted a deck that was 16,200 dust. When you took out all the free legendaries, it costs 4,820 dust.
And that's like a huge swing.
It was kind of fantastic. Like, I think he did it just for the spectacle of it. But, like, you look at the list and you're like, yeah, all right. There's, like, this is, like, semi-competitive. Like, this is kind of okay. And so it was really cool watching people be creative, but it was also really cool looking at, like, how many decks are actually really, really cheap and pretty good. Like, Questline Demon Hunter. Raxius picked out that gem, and all she did was swap The one mana sigil that's a rare for the Murloc that it's killing me. The Murloc that like gets a buff when it has a fell spell, and it's like a one mana little duder. And so, like, you draw that, it's free. You've probably played a fell spell. You're dropping it. You get, like, a free whatever. Metamorphin?
Yeah, Metamorphin.
Metamorphin. Okay. So, like, just making that little change, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh, this is less than 5K dust. At the same time, like, if you do a sigil instead of the Metamorphin, like, that's great. That's, like, a full-speed deck, and, like, that's only a little bit more than 5K dust. So it was really, it's really been, like, kind of a fun, creative thing. I haven't worked through on eliminating any decks yet. We're still in that process on stream, but it's been cool. So, like, aside from this cold, which has sort of stopped me from being as involved doing that, that was my week. Sheep, I heard we have some news this week.
I think we may have a little bit.
Poquito Welcome news. To the news. The news is so good.
So there was a little bit of news this week, starting with welcome to the year of the Pegasus. So there was, you know, they announced what the next standard year in Hearthstone is going to be. We just left the year of the Hydra. We're going to enter the year of the sheep, but because whenever Hearthstone was in development, its like code name was Pegasus. They decided to call it the Year of the Pegasus instead. I can't blame them too much. We actually got a message from Tyler Bellman, the game director for Hearthstone. I think this is the first like direct message. It's not a DM. You know what I mean, though. The first message from Tyler.
Him sounding off to the community. Sure.
Yeah. So he says, this year we're celebrating 10 years of Hearthstone. That's 10 years of defining the digital card game genre through iconic characters, tall tales in the tavern, new and familiar friends, and lots of fun. Over that time, Hearthstone expanded into a wide range of game modes. As we move into the future, we're focusing on areas where we can surprise and delight the most players with our absolute best ideas. We're excited to spend all year celebrating the past and the future of Hearthstone with you. It all starts with birthday giveaways, in-game events, and a spicy core set update, and the first of three lively card set expansions. Then, just a little further down the line, we'll be launching Battlegrounds Duos. We're excited to bring this cooperative experience to Hearthstone, where friends and strangers alike can work together to build up each other's boards and take the crown. We saw a great response to the mode at BlizzCon. Shout out to those of you who got to meet in person. Jealousy abounds. And your energy is what keeps us moving in the right direction. Alongside our regular standard and Battlegrounds updates, the team is working on a fascinating twist formats and arena updates for even more fun all year long. The Year of the Pegasus is shaping up to be a great year for Hearthstone. To all our players who champion and challenge the game, we hear you and thank you for being so passionate about Hearthstone. I look forward to chatting with you in the tavern. Tyler Bellman, game director. Neat.
Cool.
I don't typically read all of the things that they put in there, but since that was the first like message that Tyler sent to us, I felt like we needed to give it a little bit of space to breathe, because
it's a solid statement. No big gaffes or anything like that. Like, I don't like nothing to get excited about yet, because it was all sort of lip service and like preparing for the big event. But like, I will say what we've seen so far as we go down the new sections and hit some more items. Like, I'm gonna gush about Hearthstone Brew in a little bit. Like, I think so far what they've done is nailed it. So I'm excited to see where we go from here.
And how. So the announcement goes on to detail Hearthstone in the Year of the Pegasus. Guess what? We're going to have three expansions this year. kind of to be expected. The first one, you know, has recently been announced. That is, of course, the Whizbang.
Whizbang's Workshop.
Whizbang's Workshop. Thank you. There we go. Looks like the cupcake card back, like sigil type thing in the middle. And of course, we have two more. We don't know what those are yet. We won't for a while. The last one, though, looks like Super Celestial. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, possible dovetailing of StarCraft and Hearthstone, finally. Cope. Had you thought about that? Is that the first time you thought about that? That's what I thought initially. I was like, space expansion?
I just required more Vespene gas earlier.
Gotcha.
Yeah. they mentioned that there's an iconic core set update, which we'll dive into a little bit deeper later, but... we'll see. We play Wild. This is a Wild Hearthstone podcast. Most of the things here aren't going to change things a whole lot for us. You know, Justicar is a different mana cost. The big thing that they show there, though, is Wrath of Air Totem. Odd Shaman players rejoice. You can Hot play that again.
Hot Shaman back. I got my 1K portrait for Shaman with Odd Shaman, so I'm really excited for that.
Excitement abounds. Yeah. But what excitement abounds for most is Hearthstone Brew, and I'm just going to kick it over to you to gush about Hearthstone Brew for a little bit. Tell us what is going on with that glorious guy and all of those stuff and things.
So let me just start by saying, like, this is sort of like a hype card, sort of celebrating an event, right? And the event is 10 years of the existence of a card game. So things that could happen. They could make this like a sort of a Timmy meme card, and it could not be good, not be playable, or they can make it like super busted, right? And I think what's beautiful about this card is it has felt good, but not oppressive. What Hearthstone Brew does is he's a 6-mana 5/5, and when you play him, it replaces your current hand. Those cards are gone. But it replaces your current hand with an iconic, quote-unquote, hand from the past. And so you get basically a... how many cards is it? I don't even know off the top of my head.
Eight cards.
So you get eight cards, basically, that symbolizes an iconic hand from the past. So, for example, there's a Milrog hand. There's a Patron Warrior hand. There's a Freeze Mage hand that has gone live today, which was bugged in the past, but now it's here. Mm-hmm. There's an infinite Shudderwalk combo pen. And so he provides a lot of value. He seems very good. When I've seen people play him in Standard, they've been pretty happy with playing him. In Wild, the applications I've seen him in so far are Even Shaman and Miracle Rogue. Miracle Rogue, it kind of works because it's sort of the same slot as like Fizzle, Zeph, but like sometimes Fizzle is an act. Sometimes Zeph is an active. Fizzle is an uber dead card for a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. But Hearth, just kind of like, you know, you never have a ton of cards in your hand, and then you drop Hearth and all of a sudden, like, poof, now there's cards. And I'll give some credit to Raxxius. She just put out a tweet, basically. She got up to 406 with Miracle Rogue with Hearth in it. And she's like, well, like, sometimes you just cheat him out on 4 or 5, and he provides really good value. And you're still drawing other cards from your deck, which is neat. So, like, he's good there. But what I really like about this guy is not only is it a strong card so far, and not only is it seemingly pretty well-balanced, sweet intro, everything looks good there, but he's got a very special text, and the text says, once per game. So playing Hearth, and that's then let's say, like, playing Shudderwalk, doesn't mean that your hand then gets replaced by Hearthstone Brew again. It's only once per game. And I think the existence of this text is very, very handy and is getting trial run right now to possibly fix some of Wild's ails. Sheep, can you think of some of Wild's ails that could possibly benefit from a once per game tag?
I'm trying to think of one, but I just have some sort of mental block keeping me from doing so. Mm. It's kind of almost icy, that block.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. Also, I shudder to think of any options that could possibly use this tag. You know, my pet macaw also has issues thinking about it as well. There are some problems in Hearthstone that would, Wild Hearthstone in particular, that would love a once per game tag. And so if this works well, and it does seem to be looking fine, like bouncing Hearthstone Brew does nothing, you're just going to make another 6-mana 5/5, or if it's Grumble, a 1-mana 5/5, like good tempo, great. But, you know, and just the fact that the battle cry isn't repeated, and the fact that all the hands are known. Once your opponent plays one card, there's no card that's repeated amongst any of the hands. Once your opponent plays one card, you know exactly what they have, and you kind of know what to play around, which I think is also a unique kind of cool little, you know, way the card is designed. So I love this. I'm so happy that this is the first kickoff and celebration of 10 years of Hearthstone, because I think it's a really well done card, and I think the devs should, you know, get a nice golf clap for having made it, because we often complain when they get things right, but I'd like to celebrate like when they get things right.
And they completely nailed it, like you said.
Yeah.
Once per game, especially with Shudderwalk being one of the options, it's perfect. Completely perfect.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like it's okay to get in wild. And again, like if you're playing Even Shaman and like you're gassing out turn six anyway, you drop this, you're like, oh, this is fun. Like it's fair, it's strong, but sometimes you don't want to delete your hand and get like Mill Rogue. Like no thank you. So there is a trade-off to it too, and it is decent.
Absolutely. Well, also decent are the in-game anniversary rewards that are coming February 27th to March 19th. There's going to be an in-game event. On top of Hearthstone Brew, we got some gifts. They're called gifts. Yep. Each card is a 1-mana discover between one of three cards that are very specific for each class and kind of highlights the different strengths of those classes. So starting in February 27th, you can actually earn those gifts in gold as well. And if you complete the in-game event, there's also a special birthday coin, which looks pretty cool too. I don't know if it's going to take me away from Cat Coin, but I might throw it in there for like the, you know, celebrating 10 years of Hearthstone. I'm still going to come back to Cat Coin though. Cat Coin, best coin.
Oh boy. You're just going to take a little break.
Yeah.
Have you played with any of the gifts yet?
I have whenever I've discovered them. I haven't like hard run any of them in any of my decks yet though.
Oh, because there's one that's busted right now.
Ooh, which one is that?
So, Wild Hearthstone streamer, and generally one of the young high legend guys that streams regularly these days, KVLT, has been working and playing with Maxibon, playing like this APM heavy Radiant Elemental cycle a deck, and like, you know, you're playing Sister Slavana and like discovering stuff and kind of trying to figure out like lethal turns from there, typically using Pendant of Earth. However, since Pendant of Earth got nerfed, they've sort of gone away from that entirely. But we got Anduin's Gift. And what these gifts do, again, you play a 1-mana spell and it gives you a temporary copy of the spell that you're discovering. So you would get a temporary copy of, in this case for Priest, it's either a 1-mana Power Word Shield, a 2-mana Power Word, whatever one destroys a 3 or less attack minion, or a 9-mana Mind Control. And so we'll get back to that in a second. But the Power Word, the getting basically four copies of Power Word Shield in a deck that runs Radiant Elemental and Grave Horrors, there are some pretty disgusting board states. Like I have some screenshots of making like, I don't know, 5 or 6 Grave Horrors on turn 4, and because I've got 2 Radiant Elementals down, or stuff's been discounted so heavily, and it feels like a real deck. I don't know if it's good, but it feels like a real playable deck. So keep an eye on that. The gifts are going to get there. And not only that, the Druid Gift in particular is interesting because it provides you a 2-mana Wild Growth. Now, in-game, the in-game version of Wild Growth is still 3 mana. But we've almost had a confirmed sort of tongue-in-cheek, wink-wink, nod-nod by some of the devs that, yeah, there are some Wild reverts coming. And so these gifts actually might be previewing some of the things that are going to get reverted for us in Wild.
Especially because, like, we know the core set rework, the Druid is losing Wild growth in Standard. Of course, we play Wild, we're still going to have that growth. It is our growth, after all.
We already have 2-mana Wild growth.
It's just on a 1/1 dragon stick.
For a Standard, sure. But in Wild, we have from the Caverns, we have the 2-mana Wild growth. Or draw a card. Right? And True. So this is like, is another Wild growth going to break the game? Probably not. So, like, going to get a revert. So it's going to be interesting to see. Like, a couple of these cards got changed. Mind Control did get changed to 9-mana in client. Ooh. If you go check, it's not 10 anymore. Nerf Despiteful Summoner. But it isn't 10 mana anymore. And so, like, that's worth keeping track of. It's like, wait, what cards did they change to make these gifts? 3-mana swipe. Right? And so we'll take a look at those. That's cool.
Yeah, buddy. Then on March 11th, Hearthstone's official anniversary, there will actually be a legendary quest where you can earn the 10-year anniversary card back, which looks really cool. It looks almost like the I always want to call it a tavern brawl, but that's not what it is. The one where
I know what you mean.
Yeah. The thing that you can't do anymore, Fireside Gathering. The Fireside Gathering card back, but it's got like a really cool like 10 at the bottom with the little almost like olive leaf, and then the really embellished, embossed Hearthstone logo in the middle. It looks really cool.
It doesn't look like a weird lion.
Yeah. It's a way better implementation of that was what the Blizzard.
But it looks like a classy year? like 10-year celebration card back. Like, yeah, I'd wear that. I'd use that for a year. Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, what I'm most excited for in this entire blog post is the twist announcement. So this is the announcement of the March format of Twist, and I am going to play Twist every single day in March.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, you know, if it's the same thing all month, then whatever. But this, you know, coming March, we're taking a walk through Hearthstone's history. So on March 1, you'll only be able to play with Legacy. On March 2, they add the first infusion of cards. Nax is coming out. So Curse of Naxxramas is added. On March 3rd, Goblins versus Gnomes. And every single day, the next expansion or adventure gets added. I looked on the Hearthstone Wiki. Do you know how many current expansions there are?
No, but I'm going to guess it's enough to fill out March.
So expansions is 25. Adventures is 5. Put the two together.
Oh, that's really
cool. You've got 30. So you can go through the entirety of Hearthstone history throughout the entire month of March. So every day is different. Every day's got a different meta. Every day's got a different expansion that's available. You know, like Nax out is going to be a real thing again. Like, not just the meme. It's really going to be out.
And I feel like this is the part that I think I find the people that enjoy Twist that they enjoy the most is figuring out the new meta and then implementing it. But like, it's every day.
Yeah.
Like, this could actually be, it's so bizarre because it's like, as a content creator, like I don't make videos or anything like that, but people who are making videos, it's going to be almost tough to make videos. Cause it's just like, dude, a day goes by, your video's old, man. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like streaming it is going to be a phenomenal cause it's going to be so fresh every day. So it's going to be interesting to see how people capitalize on that. It's really cool.
And I almost think that like it's going to be more of like a almost Twitter meta, or, you know, Hearthpwn meta, where you're like, okay, here are the decks that I made for the first day. Okay, here's the decks that I made for the second day. You know, it's more of that kind of a thing than like, okay, I'm going to record a video of the deck, because by the time I've recorded it, edited it, uploaded it, put it out, it's going to be at the very least halfway through the day. And that's if I'm a full-time content creator. If I've got work, you know, it's 5 o'clock by the time I get home and I'm starting that, it's going to be old by the time it's up. So I think it's more of a...
already scrounging through Tempo Storm reports. Like, Tempo Storm's going to eat good on the clicks.
Oh, yeah. So I'm really excited. You know, we played Classic. There's Legacy, right? I'm going to play me some aggro Hunter. And then Nax is going to come out, and I'm going to play some Undertaker, probably still Hunter. And then... I think I'm honestly most excited for GVG, because I tried so hard back in those days to make Mech Mage, and I never quite got it.
But you think you have the skills now?
Well, I have the cards now. Then I was completely free to play. So, like, gotcha. You know, that's not so much the case anymore.
it happens. It happens.
So now I can actually just play it, just chugga, 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 and Dr. Boom cool. and all.
That's so cool. I think mine would be, in theory, if Secret Mage was untouched, Ashes of Outlands. But that being said, Secret Mage has been nerfed to the point where I don't even know if it'd be playable in Ashes of Outlands meta. So I guess I'm just going to go with, like, whatever's, you know, not nerfed for Odd Demon Hunter, and see if I'm any better at Odd Demon Hunter. Like, this is going to be cool. And again, like, what I always hoped that Classic was going to become was like a time machine, where it's like every month you're stopping off in a different meta. Because for someone like me, I came in right at the end of Boomsday. Looking at it, it's like roughly right in the middle of Hearthstone's existence. There's an entire half a history of the game that I just never experienced. And this is an opportunity for me to actually experience it organically as it happens. And now, you know, some stuff is nerfed and it's not quite the same. Like, we're not going to have like Dark Glare was in Skullamance, right? But at the same time, like, what if, you know, what if it's still playable? Like, there's going to be some, like, I'm a better player now. Like, I can play Dark Glare. It's going to be cool. It's going to be cool.
Excitement abounds. I'm going to be eating so good in March. The hits just keep on coming. Speaking of hits, on March 11th, you know, Hearthstone's 10th year anniversary, they're starting to release on streaming platforms Music from the Tavern album anniversary picks, with over 30 Hearthstone in-game tracks. There will be two more Hearthstone Music from the Tavern releases later this year, including songs from the anniversary picks and more. Look for all three Music from the Tavern albums on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, and more when they launch. Unfortunately, I did ask, and at least right now, we're not going to see physical releases of these, so I'm not going to be able to pop it on my turntable. And
I know,
but, you know, if there's enough call for it, and, you know, maybe we can get a vinyl pressing or three, since there are going to be three of them. Blizzard, please. This next part of the news is right up your alley, Shmoopy Daddy. And that is the Community Day anniversary celebration. So, Twitch drops.
Drops.
Drops, drops, drops.
Drops. So much free stuff.
Yeah.
So much free stuff.
We've already gotten 13 free cards. But wait, there's more.
Yeah. Like so much free stuff. They're much better. I remember being so hype when I was, like, very... like, maybe that first year in the game, before I really convinced myself, it's like, no, this is your hobby. You're going to spend some money on it. Like, you're not doing anything else. Let's be real. And Nerd. like, Having these events that they do, is it every other month they do one of these events, I feel like, now? Where it's like there's a track and like you can see what you're working towards and then you're earning a free pack. Like, that stuff means a lot to people who are just like, you know, they're free to play and they are working their hardest to get all their cards and then get from point A to point B. And like all this free stuff, like they're much better at doing it now. And it's I love it. It's much easier to be excited about the game too when it's like, oh, I know I'm getting drops. I know I'm getting packs.
Yeah, buddy. So that March 11th, 10 a.m. Pacific to March 12th at the same time, drops, drops, drops. We don't know what are going to be associated with these drops yet, so stay tuned. But free stuff for watching streamers on Twitch, free stuff through the anniversary event. We already got Hearthstone Brew, the gifts, and Califero. Like, so much free stuff, so much hype. Much wow.
Yeah, we kind of breezed past Califero, but I've seen him used, one screenshot of him used, and he turned all the minions on a board into a green rag. And so the opponent was just going, opponent's like, is this lethal? is this lethal? We're like, oh, all right, that's an application for that. Obviously, that's a high roll, but like, you know, fun card.
Mm-hmm. And I think we'll dive a little bit further into what Califero is a little bit later the subsequent blog posts, because did we mention there might be a little bit of news this week?
A lot of news. Poquito news.
Mm-hmm. Poquito news. World of Warcraft joins in the festivities as well. There's a pretty cool little mount if you play WoW as well. So starting on March 11th, log into Hearthstone to get a free new Fiery Hearthsteed World of Warcraft mount for free. Neat.
Neat. Don't play WoW.
Me neither. That is okay. I'm glad it exists for people who do.
Yeah.
So the next blog post is the Year of the Pegasus core set update. So again, we play Wild. A lot of the things that are returning, which is what they're starting with, iconic cards return. Leroy's featured there. Leroy's the same as he is for us. So, I mean, if you don't own Leroy, then he'll be part of the core set. You'll get him for free. That's a great thing. Mm-hmm. Fiery War Axe is the same. 2 mana, 3/2. Love to see it. Mm-hmm. Jessicar True Heart, like we mentioned earlier, discounted to 5. Unfortunately, means we can't play her.
Doesn't it feel like a nerf? Anymore. Is anyone gonna play Jessicar True Heart if you can't play her in even decks?
I mean, in our format, I don't think so. In standard, like,
I don't know about any format. We're gonna have to find out. I'll put my foot in my mouth for that one, because I can't build a standard deck to save my life. But I've been seeing people better than me being like, oh, I don't think she's going in standard.
I mean, she goes. I think she goes into Control Warrior in standard, because they're already playing Odin.
Sure.
Upgrading to 4. Damage every, as well as armor, obviously, every time you push the button.
That's fair.
I think Control Warrior probably plays her. I don't know that anything else does.
Eh.
But the big one for us, of course, like we mentioned earlier, Wrath of Air Totem. I'm so excited.
Also, a stealth nerf to Even Shaman?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point, because Strength Totem is the one that's rotating out. And Strength Totem was low-key fantastic for that deck.
It's kind of like one of the best totems, because like all of a sudden your totems can actually attack instead of sort of sitting there inertly while you're waiting for buffs. And not only that, I don't know if you've ever done a Wrath of Air Totem with Jam Session yet.
Oh.
Because bots find that out. That's not always the greatest thing. Because now just in case you're not putting together the interaction at home, like if you've got a bunch of 2 health totems on board and you play Jam Session with Wrath of Air Totem up, you're doing 2 AoE to everything. So you're also wiping out your board when you play your jam session. So this makes a couple of pattern of plays. Like, it's been all gravy for Even Shaman for a long time. They keep getting like little, you know, upgrades here or there. This is actually, in a very sort of sneaky way, does sort of slow them down and does sort of change how you think about the deck. I might put Crackles back in here.
Yeah, maybe. It feels weird, but I think I might too.
Or like the what was the two mana thing we used to do? The Maelstrom Portal? Like, maybe you think about Maelstrom Portal for the mirror. Maybe, but like, how good is modern Maelstrom Portal in the modern meta? Like, it doesn't really... I don't know. It definitely changes it, and I think it's sort of a stealth nerf at the moment, which is cool because we get to play Odd Shaman now. So, like, yeah.
That's what I'm most excited about. Odd Shaman is actually going to be playable again. Because right now, why would you ever do it? Like, the payoffs are, like, spell damage. We can't roll Wrath of Air Totem until... Corset changes things for us.
I'll admit I did do it when Snowfall Guardian was 5 and won my 2 games. So there was that. But no, there's no curse. Nothing's worth unless you're going to be like, okay, Taunt Totem every turn ends it. This is cool. This is cool. What are the other friendly new faces?
So Warcraft Rumble has inspired some cards that are also coming in with the core set. So I played just enough Warcraft Rumble to get my card back and then uninstalled because I really enjoyed it, but I don't have the time to get into another game. Hearthstone is my one and only hobby too. So featured in the blog post are Nomalia, SAFE Pilot, Warsong Grunt, Night Elf Huntress, and Footmen. So Nomalia is a legendary 6-mana 4/2 with Rush and also damages minions next to whomever this attacks. Death Rattle, deal 2 damage to all enemies. Not enemy minions, all enemies.
Yeah.
The others seem decent too, but Nomalia is the crowning jewel of this kind of package of cards.
I could see the taunt being obnoxious in Arena.
Mm. Yeah.
Surrounding units don't take damage or something like that. Like, that's going to be...
So it's a 4-mana 2/5 taunt. Adjacent minions are immune while attacking.
Okay. All right. That's going to be obnoxious in Arena. That's going to be like, free trades in Arena are just...
And anytime there's a more board-based meta, which probably won't be a thing in either Standard or Wild for a little while, I mean, being able to just trade for free is going to be so worthwhile. So like you said, Arena is where we're going to see this most immediately, but... If Standard or us, you know, in Wild gets a board-based meta, then I can easily see us jamming Footman into that as well.
Did you ever drop that in Even Shaman? For the mirror?
I mean, maybe for the mirror? I feel like if we're doing anything for the mirror in Even Shaman, it's going to be more that Maelstrom Portal than Footman.
Yeah, because like we're kind of getting to a point where Even Shaman is getting closer and closer to like a perfect 30, whereas like in Nathria, it was like, well, you've got 24 good cards, and so I could get away with putting in like goofy stuff like an ETC and like fun pet cards and whatnot. But no, I'm just curious. I was just like, well, if we care about trades, I can think of one matchup where trading matters.
The mirror.
The mirror. Literally trade until you can go face.
Yeah. I'm not going to count it out. You know, maybe that does end up happening. I wouldn't put money on it, but
I wouldn't either.
This core set has also introduced a new keyword, and that is elusive. So, we already had things like evasive, worm, which is the one that they highlight here. Has Rush, Divine Shield, and before it said cannot be targeted by spells or hero powers. That is now called Elusive. So Evasive Worm now says Rush, Divine Shield, and Elusive.
Cool.
It's a really common phenomenon, especially in Twist this season. Now it's going to have the keyword. Neat.
Good. And they've also done, I don't know if it's later down, but they've also, I guess, started to make text on Hearthstone cards a little bit more consistent. For like, the one that comes to mind for me is Oaken Summons is going to say Recruit, not Summon.
Mm.
So even though it's very clearly the Recruit mechanic, like there's no functional difference, but they're saying, all right. And I've said this before on Discord. No sane lawyer is ever going to take a case where they have to defend Hearthstone card language consistency. It's just they just can't do it, right? You just can't do it. That being said, if they're starting to take steps now to line it up and be more consistent across the board, you're going to make a lot of people on Twitter happy that are like pet peeves for this because they're mm-hmm. they're card game nerds and they're like, well, actually. And then, like, and it's hard to do, right? Because this happens in Magic all the time, where they talk about like, well, they could have just worded it this way. But like, you know, there are some eras of cards that are harder to read than others because you're just like, I don't know what they were doing when they were writing this card. This is impossible to figure out how it works functionally. So like, this is not an easy thing to do. It's a different skill set than designing the card itself. It's actually wording it to do what you want it to do, and then localizing it. So, good, cool. This is actually, I think, a bigger deal than it looks for like quality of life for a lot of people.
Absolutely agreed. And there's a huge graphic of all of the cards entering and leaving core. So putting it on screen now, some kind of takeaways are really what you said. Like Oaken Summons now says, oh, actually, on the graphic, it still says summon a minion from your deck that costs four
that's
or less.
That's been changed. It is Recruit now, yeah.
Yeah. So, again, we're a wild Hearthstone podcast, so we're not going to spend too much time on this because with the exception of the Warcraft Rumble-inspired cards, we already have all of these in our format.
But a lot of them are changing.
True.
Which is cool.
Absolutely. So there's a also a graphic of all of the Pegasus cards getting updates. So one of the ones that I'm really excited about that's getting an update is Mind Control Tech.
Oh, yeah. It's a weird one. Did you have the same initial reaction of being like, wait, they nerfed it?
I didn't, but
me and a billion people all were just like, wait, why'd they nerf Mind Control Tech? And go ahead, what's did they nerf it?
So before it was a 4-mana 3/3 and now it's a 5-mana 3/3. So that's where people can be like, oh, it may have been nerfed, but no, before it said if your battle cry, if your opponent has four or more minions, take control of a random one. Now it says, Battlecry, if your opponent has four or more minions, take control of one. You get to choose.
Terrifying for Arena. Terrifying for Arena.
Honestly, terrifying for our format. Like, oh, hey, here's an even shaman. One of the cards they have is Thing from Below. One of the cards they have is a Gigantotem. Nope, not anymore. That's mine.
I could see that as like Reno tech. Like I could see bad lists running that card. I don't know if it's going to be a meta form, like a meta tyrant necessarily, but like,
no,
I always like this because like, this is a card in our collection. We never play.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a reason to try it. Now we have a reason to play it. If it's playable, great. Yeah. Like Raxi is saying in chat, Nick Jack is already a card played in Reno Priest and it's good. It's just, this is a very specific Najak. Like you need very specific situations and like, you're usually dying if you're playing this card. I feel like if there's four minions up and it's an aggro deck, it's like, but at the same time, there's going to be situations where it's going to be really good. So I think it's a fun tech card to run through.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's one buff. Can I do a buff that caught my eye?
Yeah, you can.
Real quick. The dream cards. The fact that they did the dream cards different. So one of the cards rotating out of standard is, is it Ysera the Dreamer? The newest Ysera?
The new Ysera, yeah. I think it's the Dreamer.
I think it's the Dreamer. And so that used to get you five copies of dream cards. Well, they're reverting the dream cards because that Ysera is leaving standard. And so, like, the two mana five AoE now goes face again to your face and the opponent's face. And, like, you get a zero mana sap that can hit also your minion. So what's really cool is Ysera now goes infinite if you want it to. So is there any goofy stuff, and I've seen Corb sort of speculate on this, is there any goofy stuff you can kind of do with that where, like, you have, I don't know, you have Aviana down, and then you drop Ysera, and you get a bunch of stuff, and you can kind of hand dump, and maybe you drop something with charge, and then you throw a nightmare on it, and then you bring Ysera back, and you drop her down, and you throw another nightmare on the thing with charge, and you bring it. Like, is there any kind of, like, goofy combos? Is it better than what we probably can do in Hearts, in Druid now at Reno Druid and Astalor? Probably not. Can we play Dragon Man's Hand? Probably, and it'd be fun. So I'm looking forward to that.
And variety is the spice of life, and that sounds really spicy.
Yeah, it's going to be dumb, but I'm excited for it.
I think one of the things I'm most excited about is BGH has added tradable.
Yeah, but are you ever putting it in your deck?
No, but I might. I'm not, but I could.
Ignite Mage buff?
Anyway, moving on.
moving right past that. Bury right that deep down deep. Not going to talk about that. Nope.
Never let it out. We also had a patch come out this week. That is 28.6. We got them their patch notes. One of the things we can do is pre-purchase Whizbang's Workshop. Get early access epics. This is kind of a contentious topic. And that is these early access epics. So a Corridor Sleeper. It's a 1-mana 3/5 beast. An epic. Starts dormant. After 7 minions die, awaken. Card's not great, but the precedence it's setting is problematic. And that is, you know, obviously Hearthstone is a card game. So there's always been some sort of accusations levied about it being pay to win because people who open more card packs get more of a collection, etc. But this is the first time that there's been a complete just availability to even have access to a card paywalled like this.
Right. And
while I was going to be pre-ordering regardless, and this doesn't affect me negatively, the precedence of that pay to win accusation being, you know, potentially having teeth now, it ain't great.
No. So initially I saw a Reddit post on this and I was going to make fun of the person because it's a bad card. It's
not good.
It's not good. I think I've had it played against me once, and the only reason why it actually got any value is because it was against like an XL Reno Priest. It was randomly generated and I was playing like Unseal the Vault Hunter. So like I had like a billion little tokens just dying left and right. And I'm like, I'm going to get soloed by Corridor Sleeper. I am not staying in this game one moment longer. It's not a good card. It's not a 5/5. It doesn't cost zero. So my stance on this is I having read the Reddit article and thought through the arguments, I am now on the side of like, yeah, sets a bad precedence. But I think my real point of view is, if the cards are going to be this bad, I don't think I care either way. Like, if it's going to be a Timmy card where it's like, it's not giving anyone a competitive advantage, but like, maybe it's more fun than Corridor Sleeper, which seems aptly named. I'd be more excited. Like, I'd get, oh, I get to pre-order and get to play with this fun card first, but like, it's not actually giving me a competitive advantage. I think that's cool. If this is ever a spike card, that's real bad. That is real bad, because they have been very good, I think, about, especially the economy in Hearthstone, I think, with all the free stuff and the monthly rewards. And the Battle Pass gives us so much free stuff. Like, if you want to be competitive, you can keep a pretty good competitive collection playing regularly, at least for our format in Wild. And it seems like in Standard, it's at least okay. Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm with you, but I think my stance is more like, if it's going to keep being bad like this, I don't care. That being said, if this is there in place of me getting better value or something else that I actually want, that's when I would then like take my own philosophy of just like, well, if it's bad, I don't really care. Well, then take my own philosophy is like, if it's going to continue to be Corridor Sleeper after Corridor Sleeper, I'm going to start getting annoyed that like, why am I prepaying for this? This sucks. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
Honestly, the biggest kind of boon that I can see for getting these Corridor Sleepers is that now we're not going to pack them because we've already got them. And so that means that we can get better epics from our packs.
the best part. So I already pre-ordered the tiny bundle, because I had like a $10 coupon from like, oh, if you get a bundle of this size or larger from like the Google Play Store. So it's just like, okay, great. I'll pre-order the little one. Like, I'll treat myself a little bit. Good job, Shmoopy Daddy. You're getting a bargain. And then I just happened to see like if I had double used the coupon. So like I opened up the larger bundle, and it's like, making this purchase will mean that you'll get two additional copies of Corridor Sleeper. Are you sure you want to do this? And I'm like, you know what? This is a great point. I don't know if I want to make both pre-orders. I'm going to have four Corridor Sleepers.
I sleep.
this is a disaster. But I think, you know, like, and you kind of said it when we were sort of previewing this, which you can see if you Patreon in the Discord. I sort of brought this up as like a topic that we can't just brush over, just saying, oh yeah, and they include a Corridor Sleeper. We had to address the fact that like, yeah, they're setting a bad precedent with having like access to stuff. And the first thing you said is like, yeah, but the devs are listening and they know that people aren't happy about this. Like, this is low-hanging fruit for people that make content about this kind of stuff.
So we definitely didn't want to just like graze past it without mentioning it, but we also know that they're already receiving this feedback loud and clear.
And track record says they'll hear it and they won't do this again.
Mm-hmm. They have a really good track record of listening.
Yeah.
Especially this current crop of this current dev team takes feedback really well. Huge fan.
And if you're looking for evidence, look at the Battle Pass. Like, people hated the Battle Pass when it came out. They said, listen, we'll fix it if it's not good. And people are like, it's not good. And like, again, we're kind of over the top about it. And they're like, all right, fine. Well, is this better? And they're like, we're like, yeah. And now everybody, I think, loves the Battle Pass. Like, I haven't heard anybody make content about how it's bad. So like, I think this is, we can turn this into a meme and joke about it later.
I sleep. Now, we already mentioned the gifts because it was in an earlier post. Here, they mention the gifts again. So log in and get 13 cards for free. We've got the one gift for each of our 11 heroes. We've got Hearthstone Brew. Covered him pretty in-depth already. And last but not least, start your tour of Whizbang's Workshop with the free Califero, the artist's legendary minion. This talented artist paints over your whole board as copies of the minion he draws. So, Califero the artist is an 8-mana 6/5 elemental with the battle cry, draw a minion. Transform all other friendly minions into copies of it. And you know what? After hearing your example of what's happened with Califero, what I want to do is run essentially like a no minion demon hunter with just Green Rag and Califero as my only minions. But, you know, there are a lot of spells that generate tokens. So generating a whole lot of little tokens, little one ones that are just like doing nothing, just kind of like hanging out there. Then I drop Califero the artist on 9 because that way, or I can like play Califero, hero power, go face, all the green rags, go face.
It's going to be a fun thing to do once. This seems like a very like, very Timmy, like, let's just break this out once. You're not going to beat this combo, Kaiba. Like it's not something that's good, but it's
no,
it's kind of, I was thinking, honestly, like sitting here thinking about applications, like it's really slow, but like you could do something like play it in, you could play it in Mind Warlock, right? Like you could just hope that your mind stays in deck. You don't draw patches. Right. And then you make a bunch of tokens and drop maybe a discounted Califero. And now you've got a bunch of mines. And I think that's still actively worse than just doing the normal mine rogue combo. But it's about sending a message.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this card sucks, but it's fun. It's going to be fun for somebody. And the Hyrules will be screenshot worthy. And some people play for that. And that's cool.
And I really like those, like, it's cool whenever we get a really good competitive, like, great card as one of these free ones, like Renathal, Archmage Vargoth, etc.
Hearthstone Brew,
yeah.
Hearthstone Brew's good.
He is. But I also like whenever we get these, like, fun Temmy cards that don't have a huge meta impact but are fun to play around with. Because releasing them early actually gives them a time to shine when otherwise, when they're released with the entire expansion, there are other things to play around with.
I just had another moment. I know what I'm playing this in. I'm playing this in Druid, and I'm making, like, I'm going to play Flipper Friends, and then I'm going to play this, and I'm going to get 6 Desert Obelisks. And I'm just gonna have a great time. Just pew 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 pew. And you know what? If I draw my Desert Obelisk, it's okay because we have Shattered Reflections. Put them right back in the deck. So it's gonna be a grand old time on the Swoopy Daddy stream. I swear. You're right. This is a fun card. Is it a good card? Mm-hmm. No. Are we gonna get some 6 screenshots? Yes. So
and of course, and they should design cards for everybody.
Not all of them can be competitive. That's okay.
I want to do it with Rag. I want to do it with Green Rag. I want to do it with Desert Obelisk. I want to do it with Moarg.
Oh, wait, yeah, like, Rag is so much better than Desert Obelisk. What am I doing? Whatever. I'm so damaged. Anyway.
In this blog post, they mentioned the 10th year anniversary in-game event again, which is great. We already covered that. Yep. And they mentioned the Twist seasonal update fast forward for March. Which we already covered, but I'm still really excited about.
You should be. It sounds cool. I'm excited too.
Mm-hmm. And then one I've been playing with a little bit this week is the Battlegrounds updates, which we're not going to go through because there's a lot of it. I'm scrolling.
They always are huge. They are not afraid to mix it up with Battlegrounds. And like quests are back. I get this secondhand from my buddy Neon Heron, and he's like, it's a really cool meta. It's really cool figuring it out. It's really fun right now. Because like spells and quests, and there isn't a very clear push strategy by his estimation. So like if you want to try BGs, if you like BGs casual, apparently it's the nuts right now. Give it a shot. It's fun.
Yeah. And this is their kind of standard like mid-season update for Battlegrounds. I haven't quite finished my battle pass for Battlegrounds. I used to buy all of the stuff in Battlegrounds too. I don't do that anymore. I finally skipped one, and you know, once you rip that Band-Aid off, I'm no longer a completionist there.
You're free. You
know, I'm free. Yeah. That said, I still get the battle pass because, like, I still enjoy playing Battlegrounds, and having the two additional heroes to choose from is really impactful and impacts my enjoyment of the mode, which I really enjoy. That said, this is the mid-season update. There's a whole lot of new stuff, a whole lot of new ways to play around with that format if you enjoy that thing, which I do. And then there, as well as part of the 28.6 patch notes, there is a whole long list of bug fixes and game improvements, which is good too. And now the moment we've all been waiting for, and that is...
Are you going to play the trailer?
Oh, I'm not going to play the trailer, but the trailer it is there as part of announcing Whizbing's Workshop Hearthstone's next expansion. So the expansion we've like been talking about around through, this is the official announcement blog post as well. So Cora, I think, is the lead designer for this set. The last one that she was the lead designer for was Castle Nathria, which was fantastic. I really enjoyed that expansion.
And strong. Like, if you've ever taken a look at just sort of like going back through and seeing how many Castle of Nathria cards like were eventually touched for being like, we made it die. Like, we like that as wild players. We like the high power level.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like, we like the Astalor, and we like the, you know, we like the Daddy D's, and we like the rogue locations. Like, we like the high powered stuff and everything being like pretty good. And there being last time in what, like, aside from like a couple of like, you know, a couple feud stakes, we're going to ignore Big Rogue, right? We're going to just ignore that for a minute. We're going to shove that deep down deep.
And you know, that was fixed pretty quick too.
That was fixed quick. Nathria meta was great and fun and varied and very good.
And like in my even DK, I still play Murlocula, right?
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I still play Sylvanas.
Yep.
So there are a lot of great cards that came from that. And I'm very excited to play with some miniature cards this go around as well. Miniaturize is a new keyword. Some of Whizbang's creations come with their own fun-sized copy. Whenever you play a card with miniaturize, you get a 1-mana 1/1 copy added to your hand. Play the mini version right away for tempo, or save it for a cheap, powerful effect when the time is just right. One of the examples in the announcement video was like a Sunkeeper Tarum, which looked really cool too.
Something that I think you're going to enjoy that I've seen revealed someplace. I don't know if it was from the video or whatnot. Was a paladin minion, 3-mana 3/2 rush lifesteal, miniaturize. And so I know you're a hand buff enjoyer. A hand buff enjoyer. Having a 3-mana OG Zilliax, I mean, you're not attaching it to anything, right? Like, you're just playing it for tempo, but having that buffed rush lifesteal in that deck. And then also having a 1/1 copy that can just sort of sit in hand and hang out, not change your hand size, and also accrue buffs. That's really cool. So, like, I think this is going to be a really neat... Yeah, what is it? The Tiger Plushie? Tigress Plushie?
Yeah, Tigress Plushie.
I think that's going to be a really cool keyword. And I think it's also going to be really neat on cards with... It's going to be neat to see if they ever put it on cards with Battlecry for that specific reason of just like, okay, well, let's be tactical. You're specifically playing the second card for the Battlecry effect itself, not the stats, in 90% of the time. So that's going to be really interesting to see how people take advantage of that. And that's going to make for some interesting play, I think.
And honestly, that's what I'm really excited about, Toy Captain Tarum as well. So 5-mana 3/7, miniaturize, taunt, Battlecry, Set a minion's attack and health equal to this minion's. Equal to this minion's. So the initial one is a 5-mana 3/7. You can set another minion to 3/7. Miniaturize. That's a 1-mana 1/1. You can use that aggressively. Oh, what a nice green rag you have. Now it's a 1/1.
Yeah. And like, keep an eye. Like, is this a keyword that's going to get nerfed? Like, are they going to have to like, but you can't play it until blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm interested to see how this plays out on the grand scheme of things, because you start mana cheating stuff and effects, like, funny things happen. And this sounds like high impact. So, like, I didn't realize that Cora was the lead designer on Nathria. So I'm like reacting real time. Now I'm looking at every card. I'm being like, is this busted? Is this kind of busted? It looks like at least a fun expansion, if nothing else.
Yeah. And honestly, I think so much of this expansion is that kind of celebration of 10 years of Hearthstone, right? Like Toy Captain Tarum. It's a, you know, calling back to Tarum, Sunkeeper Tarum, obviously. We've got Inventor Boom is another one that was announced already.
Yeah.
8-mana 7/7. Battlecry, resurrect two friendly mechs that cost 5 or more. They may immediately attack random enemies. Oh, look.
That can go
Dr.
face.
Boom's back.
Yeah.
He's a 7/7. Can go face. Another one of the... Inventor Boom is a warrior card. Fireworker is another one of the warrior cards, too. Death Rattle, 5-mana 5/5, Death Rattle, summon 2/1/1 Boom Bots, warning, bots may explode. The Boom Bots themselves are the classic Boom Bots, 1-mana 1/1, Death Rattle, deal 1-4 damage to a random enemy, right? So you drop, not Blastmaster, Inventor Boom, resurrect two friendly mechs that cost 5 or more. Note that Fireworker is 5, so resurrect those. If they go face, then boom, that's 5 damage. If they trade, then, oh, look, all of a sudden you get some more boom bots on board. Like, it's just, that's going to be bonkers fun.
Gotta love boom bots. Everyone loves boom bots, too. Right? Everyone loves little Hearthstone RNG.
And how? So, another card that they announced here that is all sorts of nostalgic, but with a really cool new twist, is Ziliax Deluxe 3000. So, pictured here is Ziliax Deluxe 3000. No mana cost, no attack or health. While building your deck, customize your very own Ziliax Deluxe 3000. So there are a number of these different Ziliax modules. Zoom in a little. Enhance. So there's like recursive module, Death Rattle, shuffle this into your deck. There's Haywire module, a 2-mana 4/4. At the end of your turn, deal 3 damage to your hero. Oh. Some of my favorites are like Twin module, 4-mana 3/3, summon a copy of this. And then of course, Perfect module, 5-mana 3/2. Those stats sound familiar. Divine Shield, Taunt, Lifesteal, Rush, no magnetic, but otherwise, all of the original Ziliax, everything.
And you pick two, right?
So you pick two of these, and it combines everything. So, for example, the two that I just mentioned is two of my favorite, the Twin Module and Perfect Module. 4-mana and 5-mana, that combines. So that's a 9-mana Ziliax. It's a 9-mana 6/5, because it combines the attacks. It combines the health, and it has Battlecry, summon a copy of this, and also has Divine Shield, Taunt, Lifesteal, Rush. That's that particular combination. So when you're building your deck, you choose any two that you want, and then that is a Ziliax that's in your deck. You also get to choose the art, which is really cool, too. There are a number of different art choices.
I bet it's going to be interesting to see what versions get played in odd decks, what versions get played in even decks. Excuse me. It's interesting to me that you can do the 2-mana 4/4 option that damages your hero. You could slap it on lifesteal and all of a sudden the lifesteal like negates the damage itself. And again, like that Painlock might sniff a 2 mana 4/4 that deals 3 damage at the end of turn. Well, would that count towards your quest? I'd have to see. I think it does. I think it would, because it's still on your turn, even though it's at the end of your turn. It hasn't changed over yet. So, like, this looks like a Swiss Army knife that people are going to play with. And what's really cool is it looks very flexible. So that's going to be pretty neat.
Excitement abounds. And then, of course, Califro the Artist, we already mentioned. They're mentioning them again here because Califro is part of the Whizbang's Workshop expansion itself. And then, of course, it mentions the Corridor Sleeper again as well, because that is one of the pre-purchase options there. We also...
In the tour store, I go sleeping. In set reviews, people are weeping. When minions die, I'm getting nearer. You guessed it. Right, I'm Corridor Sleeper. I love that copypasta because it doesn't rhyme, but like...
It sure doesn't.
But it's there. Sorry, continue with the actual serious part of the show.
So one thing I'm most excited about is the new Whizbang card, because this wasn't in the initial, whatchamacallit, like announcement, but it's already been announced. I think it was yesterday. So this one is Splendiferous Whizbang. Technically a 4 mana 4/5. We pretty much will never see that, especially in our format, because just like OG Whizbang, start the game with one of Whizbang's experimental decks, is what it calls it in this one. So they go through a few of the different decks. One of them is, this deck is heroic. What does that mean? I don't know. This deck is evil. Cards in this deck transform into random playable cards. That one's mage or neutral. Deck of Discovery. Your deck is filled with cards that discover a druid spell or minion that you can afford to play. And those ones are 0 mana. We've also got Rainbow Deck. This card... It moved past. This deck has cards from all classes and spell schools.
That could be a high roll, but that could also be garbage.
Yeah. Deck of Treasures. This deck has 5 duels treasures in it.
Okay, so what's the rest of it going to be, number one? And number two, who's going to know what duels is when it gets erased next month? That's the two things that have people been like bringing up to me. It's just like, but duels is going away. What do you mean? Now we know, because they're still in solo adventure, but.
Mm-hmm. And now we'll know what that is from Splendiferous Whizbang, right?
Right.
And Shrunken Deck. This deck only has 20 cards. But are those 20 cards? Only time will tell. Septuplet Deck. This deck has 7 copies of Astral Automaton. Which, of course, is the 1 mana 1/2 mech priest card. Has +1/+1 for each other Astral Automaton you've summoned this game. And Deck of Legends. This deck has 2 copies of legendaries. What all are those? Who knows? It shows King Mukla. So I'm assuming he's going to be one of them, but...
It feels very Tavern Brawl-y. Is it going to be like a Tavern Brawl style where it's just like rah, and here's your Tavern Brawl deck on Standard Ladder or Wild Ladder? It's like,
And see, I think that the deck is, whenever you roll, for example, the Deck of Legends, this deck has 2 copies of legendaries. I think it's always going to be the same deck, right? Like, I think that the designers made the deck itself, I think. I don't think it's going to be like a Tavern Brawl where it's random.
A lot of these options seem random. Like, it's just a... It's just an RNG fest. It's just a Hail Yogg, and let's see how we're going. And, like, some lunatic's going to take it to Legend.
Oh God, it's me. I want to be that lunatic.
It's going to be you. You're going to do it.
I want to be that lunatic so much.
Oh, man. Come on.
Questing deck. Shaman. This deck has three quests, which, of course, whenever you play the card, it's quest accepted. Begin three shaman quests.
And I think it's going to be, I think, every class, I imagine, is going to be like three quests. I doubt it's just going to be just shaman.
I don't know either.
One. I'm just assuming.
If it's the same like built deck, then it might just be the shaman one.
Anyway.
Deck of wishes. This deck contains three wishes that give you the perfect card. Of course, those wishes are zero mana. And then copycat deck. This deck is a copy of your opponent's, and they've already announced Drat's technical issues were discovered while testing out copycat deck. Unfortunately, this specific experimental deck won't be available when Splendiferous Whizbang goes live. The 11 other rule-breaking recipes are unaffected. So, copycat deck, unfortunately, at the very least at release, will not be in the pool.
And friend of the show and listener series, Kay, brought up, like, well, what happens when two copycat options play each other? And it's like, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. I'm copying you. No, you go first. I'm copying you. Well, I want to see what you're doing. Well, I want to see what you're doing. And so I wonder if it was like, oh, how does this work again? One of those moments where it's just like,
and I would speculate, though I don't know, I would speculate that that's the technical glitch, is if two people are playing Splendiferous Whizbang and both roll into the copycat deck, that it just freaks out. That's my guess, but there may be some other use cases that it freaked out about, you know. Code is weird.
Good reason to delay it, honestly.
Honestly, yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen either. Let's figure it out.
So that was the news. Do you want to talk about our special topic this week, Shmoopy Daddy?
Sure. Our special discussion topic this week is the news. That's the discussion topic.
We already covered our special discussion topic.
Whoa! Newsy, newsy, news, news. Look at that.
Welcome to the news. The news is so good.
Special topic. Hooray.
Hooray, we did it. All right. Which means sheep.
Unrelated advice with Electric Sheep City.
Okay.
Hit me.
Sheep, are you a sweatshirt person?
From time to time.
From time to time. Okay. So my off-topic question for you this week is, I'm a sweatshirt person. I get home, I get undressed, I put on a sweatshirt. But like since I started streaming, something that I've made an effort to do is to look like I'm wearing different clothing from stream to stream. But what happened this week was I really wanted to wear my sweatshirt cheap. And so I keep wearing my sweatshirt. And what I want to know is in your opinion, what is an acceptable length of time to wear the same sweatshirt that's being used in the manner that I'm using it?
So within this very room, I have three different sweatshirts, one of which was the one that I was wearing, you know, during the episode. There's one, oh, four, because there's one on the back of my
perfect
my chair here. So I wear a lot of different sweatshirts.
Okay.
That said, my different sweatshirts kind of serve different purposes, right? Like the one that I was wearing tonight during the show, you know, it was snowing. It's a little bit warmer than some of my others. It's not quite my comfy, my like warmth, but like it's a pretty warm sweatshirt. if the situation calls for the same sweatshirt multiple days in a row, I mean, a week, and then you wash it, and then you do it again. I mean, if it's the same sweatshirt you want to wear, I mean, knock yourself out for a week and then wash it so it doesn't stink. But other than that, I mean, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't wear the same sweatshirt like Doug Funny every single day.
Interesting. Interesting. A week. Yeah. It's, yeah, it's totally hasn't been a week yet.
I mean, then you just toss it in the, you know, washer and then the dryer, and then you can put it back on and it's fine.
Wiser words had never been spoken, and you heard that on
Bored to Be Wild.
Okay, how long has it been?
I don't remember.